This podcast is one of the many good ones on the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hello, this is Spencer. You're listening to my dad on the Handgun World Podcast.
Hi, folks. I'm Bob Main. Welcome to episode number 401 of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in, folks. I hope you had a good Christmas and a good New Year. As you know, I took about a week off during the holidays. So here we are, 2017, new year, a new focus. And I got a lot of exciting things planned in my shooting and concealed carry and gun hobby that I'll be sharing with you in this episode. With a new year brings definitely new things. And I guess I'm going to start off. I hate starting with a negative. I really don't. I don't like starting with a negative. So I think I'm going to make this negative into a positive. But I got to explain to you what's going on. The advertising for the Self Defense Radio Network is no more. The network still exists. The Self Defense Radio Network still exists, but we're not going to have any more advertisers or affiliates. It's a long story I won't get into, but let's just say logistically it didn't work out. That's kind of the best way I can put it. Logistically, it didn't work out. I appreciate all of you who did participate in the promotions that we had. We thank you very, very much. We are going to do the giveaways probably towards the end of the month, the giveaways that we were announcing probably towards the end of this month, January 2017. But many thanks for all the support. Continue to listen to all of the podcasts on the Self Defense Radio Network. We're going to be adding some podcasts as well. We're going to stay as a cohesive network so that we can continue to promote all the great shows that are on the network. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to selfdefenseradio.net. Selfdefenseradio.net. We all post our episodes there, but you'll also be able to see a list of all of the great podcasts on the network, including, obviously, this one. So, in episode 400 a couple of weeks ago, I took some voicemails. I asked a bunch of listeners to send in a voicemail, call in a voicemail, and talk about what it is that you get out of listening to my show. And one came in late, but better late than never. So let's go ahead and listen to it right now.
Hi, Bob. This is Dan Vance. You know, Bob, I missed your 400th episode, but I just wanted to just add a testimonial. When I first met you, I found out about you from a common interest, and that was prepping, not shooting. And I really didn't get the gun thing, and I always knew that guns were for crazy people and people that were dangerous, and they were dangerous things to kill people. And but I gave your other podcast that you told me about a listen, and things started to click. And thanks to you, I've learned to become proficient. I won't say good, but at least proficient with handguns. I've taken many, many classes at Frontside out here in Las Vegas where I live. And I've become confident with guns, and I enjoy going to the range and shooting, and I've gotten my family involved. And I owe that to you, Bob. I really had no interest or inclination or even, you know, I was concerned about guns before, you know, I met you and started listening to your podcast. So kudos to you and your 400th episode. Keep up the great work that you're doing. God bless you and your family. Thoughts and prayers with you. And thank you for the work that you do. Also, I'm calling because I have some great news from the state of Nevada. Even though Bloomberg and his liberal Nazis came into town and passed a law requiring people to register guns for private party sales, our attorney general just said it is undoable, cannot be done. The FBI is no interested in personal background checks between private party sales, and so it looks like they're going to throw everything out. So I just wanted to pass along some good news as well in the gun world, and a good result for gun rights people everywhere. With that, joyous and blessed Christmas and a prosperous New Year to you and all your listeners. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate the compliments. I appreciate that very much. And Dan, I am glad that you're getting training. You know, that's so important. I've been watching Facebook lately, and I've been watching some of the posts that people put on Facebook about why they don't get training. And it's amazing to see some of the kind of lame excuses, if you ask me. Like some people say, well, I don't know whether the instructor that I am thinking about taking a class from, I don't know whether it's worth the money. Well, you know, folks, you don't really know if it's worth the money until you try it. Unless you can find somebody that has taken a course from that instructor before. And, of course, a lot of the big-name instructors, they've got a lot of reviews on their classes. Unless you can actually find somebody, you really don't know, unless you can find somebody that took that class. Now, by the way, if you're interested in any of the classes that I teach with Ben Branham, you can go to handgunworld.com and you can read my class review page. And you can hear what students say about the classes that I teach with Ben Branham. We call them Beyond Concealed Carry classes, and we also call some of them Pistol Fighting Dynamics. But I don't think that should be an excuse for you to not take training. And so people say, well, I don't know. I don't know about the instructor. Hey, try it. You know, see if the instructor's got like a short, inexpensive course. See if they've got like a 4-hour course or just a 1-day course that doesn't cost much money. And go take it. You know, the chances are you're probably going to learn something. And unless you check it out, you're not really going to know. Again, see if they have a short version of their class before you spend the money taking a longer one. And then that way you can try it out. If you do a little homework, you can find out about the instructor. I think when someone uses an excuse like, well, I don't know much about the instructor, so I'm not going to spend the money. Well, then go find an instructor that you do know, that you can learn about, and take that class, even if you have to travel to take that class. Get training, folks. Now, why do I talk so much about this? Not because I'm in the business of doing firearms training. Seriously. You know, folks, if you were to see my balance sheet as to how much money that I make each year doing training classes, it's not much. I don't do this for the money. I don't do this podcast for the money. You know, the Shooters Club and the training and the sponsorship from Concealment Solutions and all that. I'm not getting rich, ladies and gentlemen. I do it because I like it. Okay, I have a great full-time job. As a matter of fact, I'm in the Handgun World Mobile Studio, the new Handgun World Mobile Studio, new to me. Over the holidays, I bought a 2006 Toyota 4Runner with 59,000 miles on it. I think I got a really nice deal, and I like it. It's got the small 4.7 liter V8. It's a two-wheel drive. Sport edition. It's got everything I need. One of the reasons I bought it is I wanted the small V8, which Toyota doesn't make anymore. I think they stopped making that in 2008 or 2009. And I wanted low miles. And finding an 11-year-old vehicle with 58,000 miles on it, I just couldn't pass it up. And it was well maintained by the previous owners. So that's my new ride. I'm in it right now. But I want to say, even if you've got to travel to get to an instructor's class that you know, do that. But the biggest reason I talk about training, as I was mentioning before, is, you know, that is one of the arguments that anti-gunners use against those of us who believe in the Second Amendment and believe in the right to keep and bear and carry firearms. You ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that that's one of the arguments that they use? They say that we're a bunch of untrained people, and we don't know what we're doing with firearms, and we shouldn't be trusted. I've read that and heard that a bunch of times. Folks, most of you know, I'm in sales for a profession. For over 30 years, I've been in outside sales. One thing I learned very early in my career, and it's made me very successful in this business, if you know an objection is going to come up, handle it ahead of time. So for any of you out there that are in sales that are just getting started or you're struggling, know what the objections are to your product or service. Know what the objections are. Prepare your presentation so that you talk about and handle and answer those objections up front when you first start talking to them. See, when you do that, it takes the ability away from them to bring it up later. And why am I talking about this? Well, because anti-gunners. How about if we start taking the objection away from the anti-gun people? How about if we start taking their excuse away that we're a bunch of untrained idiots that don't know what we're doing? That we're a bunch of untrained rednecks and deplorables and we don't know what we're doing with guns? Well, how do you take that weapon away from them? How do you take that, and no pun intended, by the way, how do you take that objection or that criticism away from them? Go get training. And talk about the amount of training that you have received. Keep track of the hours that you spend training and practicing. Even if you go to competition matches, hey, why don't you keep a log? How many rounds did you shoot? How long were you there? When you go to a training class, how many rounds did you shoot? How long were you there? Know those numbers. And when you start to talk to people, maybe talk to somebody about guns, and you try to justify why you should carry a gun, even though you shouldn't have to justify it. That's just the way some people are. They look for that justification. You can then talk about the number of hours that you have spent training and the classes that you've taken and the number of competition hours that you have put in and the number of rounds that you fired and how you've done it safely and effectively. And besides that, you know, I'll agree that training should not be mandated to exercise your Second Amendment right. But I'm going to very strongly encourage it because you are carrying a weapon with lethal force. And what that means, it has lethal force even if it is negligently discharged or accidentally discharged, whatever name that you want to put on stupidity. I know that might sound a little harsh, but you know what, folks? 90% of the gun, quote, accidents, unquote, it's stupidity. Somebody just didn't bother to observe all of the safety rules and didn't check to make sure that their gun was unloaded and double check to make sure that their gun was unloaded before taking it apart or whatever it is that they were doing. So safety in mind, which is a must. So think about that, and think about that as a reason why you would want to take training, and I strongly encourage it. Even though we have state mandated courses in most states, not all, but in most states we have state mandated classes that we have to take to be able to get this little card that we carry in our wallet or purse that allows us to exercise our Second Amendment rights. Yeah, that sounds weird, doesn't it? But unfortunately, that's the system that we work in or that we have to work with. And, you know, possibly now, possibly with the new president and the new Congress, we may see national reciprocity. So when you get your little permission card from the government, and the government says that you're okay now to carry your gun, hopefully it'll be good in all 50 states someday and someday soon. But would you please take on the responsibility of getting some training? If nothing else, to shut up the people that say that we're not trained well enough. Speaking of that, Ben and I will be teaching in San Antonio in a couple weeks. That's coming up. There's still spots left. Pistol Fighting Dynamics, The Art of the First Hit. Check that out. Check out the description. You can find all of our 2017 classes at handgunworld.com. I got them all up there now. They're all up there with descriptions and registration links. We're going to Dallas. We're going to Houston. We're going to the Salt Lake City, Utah area. We're going to Ohio. We're going to Illinois, Wisconsin. We're going to be right on the Illinois-Wisconsin border. Gary Doherty from Firearms Institute is hosting us. We're going to be up there doing a two-day Beyond Concealed Carry enhanced course. So to all my friends, my cheesehead friends from Wisconsin, and my Illinois friends who listen to this podcast, come train with us in June in Illinois. If you're out west, come to Salt Lake area and train with us in May. If that doesn't work out, we're going to be in Ohio. We're going to be teaming up with Paul Carlson. And me and Ben and Paul Carlson are going to teach a two-day class at Paul's home range. You'll be able to see that in Garrettsville, Ohio. And we're going to Sioux Falls, South Dakota again. We were there a couple of years ago. Paul Lathrop from the Polite Society podcast is our host, and we're going to be doing a two-day class there. You can see them all at handgunworld.com. That's about all I'm going to be able to fit in for 2017, because most of you know everything that I got going on in my family. So that's about all I'm going to be able to fit in if you want to train in a class where I will be there. Okay, let's take just a quick break, and I'll be right back.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and it can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
Okay, I'm back. Had to take a quick break. Still in the Handgun World mobile studio. I want to say something else about Dan's email, Dan Vamos' email earlier. He was talking about basically how the Attorney General of Nevada basically said, no way, we're, you know, that stupid law of requiring a background check on private sales ain't going to happen and ain't going to fly here in Nevada. I think, didn't the state of Washington pass some kind of a dumb law like that too? I think it's good when we see these really useless laws. I think it's good when we see officials from the states or from the municipalities stand up and say, nah, that's not good. We're not going to do that here, and stick it. You know, basically a peaceful civil disobedience. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that is needed. Not all the time, but sometimes when politicians just pass stupidity, sometimes I think that's important for that peaceful civil disobedience to occur. Would you agree? And I'm not just talking about firearms. A lot of other knucklehead things that politicians do. You can tell that politicians are not really my favorite people, can't you? You know, lately, I mean, when I say lately, I'm talking about the last 15 to 17 years. They've just really, really been extremely disappointing. I mean, they've been disappointing for a long time, but I'm glad to see that the people have decided to exert their power that we do have. And I don't agree with everything that Donald Trump says. Donald Trump was not my first choice for president. Most of you know that. I made that very clear. But one thing that I do like about what he is saying and probably is going to do is he's going to give a lot of the power back to the people, and especially to the states. I'm a big believer in states' rights. A real big believer. in states' rights. Which is, by the way, I was talking about national reciprocity earlier. It does make me a little nervous that the federal government may get involved in giving us national reciprocity. Because what the federal government can give, the federal government can also take away. And that's what makes me a little bit nervous. It's basically allowing the federal government to get even more involved in firearms law. And if you think about it, folks, that's not always a good thing. I'm not saying that national reciprocity is not a good thing. I'm all in favor of national reciprocity. I just wish that there was a way that it could be accomplished without federal government involvement. As I mentioned, I'm a big states' rights believer. We are the United States of America, and that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be 50 separate governments united and basically trying to achieve the same goals, but also have a whole lot of autonomy. And one of the easiest ways for our rights to be taken away is for the federal government to get involved and take states' rights away. So be mindful of that. I want to talk in this episode also about some goals I have for 2017, and I would like to invite all of you to call in a voicemail and let us know about your firearms goals. My voicemail number is 210-646-1727. That's area code 210-646-1727. You can be on the show. I'd like to find out what your goals are, your firearms goals for 2017. As many of you know, I just got a new Trijicon RMR red dot sight for one of my Glock 19s. I got it from Suarez International. I think they do, if not the best, one of the best jobs of putting red dot sights on pistol slides, especially Glock pistols. Suarez International has been doing it a long time, and they've been through the good and the bad, and I think they've pretty much got it nailed. So I ordered one. What I did is I took one of my third generation Glock 19 slides and I sent it to them, and I ordered the Trijicon RM07 to be mounted on the slide. And so far in dry fire practice, I'm liking it a lot. I haven't got to the range yet to zero it. I'll be doing that. But whenever you get something new, especially if it's something that is a major new piece or a major new thing for your concealed carry or for your shooting, well, then guess what? Then you got to train with that. So I'm signed up for John Payne's Red Dot Pistol School coming to San Antonio in the middle of February. And I believe that he's got spaces available for that too. If not, he'll probably call and correct me, and then I'll have to put out a correction. But I think you can still sign up for that. All you have to do is go to the Suarez International site and find the Red Dot Pistol School in San Antonio. I want to say it's the 18th and the 19th of February, or 17th and 18th. It's that third week in February. And the third weekend, excuse me, in February. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to learn how to use this thing. These red dot, Trijicon red dots, well, actually any red dot, they've got some great capabilities. But the owner-operator has to be able to know how to use them and learn the techniques. I know that John's been doing it a long time. He's been shooting it a long time. He's been teaching it for quite a long time. And I'm going to take that class. And by the way, you remember earlier I was talking about finding people who have taken the class that you want to take. I know several people who have taken John's Red Dot School class, and all said they were extremely impressed. And some have taken Gabe's class too. And I believe I'm going to probably take his class in October, Gabe's class in Houston. And another goal I have, of course, for 2017, I am going to the Tom Gibbons Tactical Conference. Really excited about that. In the middle of March. going to Little Rock, Arkansas. I used to go to Little Rock a lot in the previous business I was in. I rarely go there anymore, so this is going to be a good opportunity. I'm going to be going with Ben Branham and Dr. John Adine. We're going to travel together and go to Little Rock and take Tom Givens' tactical conference. There's going to be a lot of really good trainers there, a lot of really, really good people that know what they're doing in the firearms industry. And I'm looking forward to just going there and being a sponge and just soaking up knowledge. Maybe I'll meet some of you listeners there. Maybe I'll meet some fellow instructors there. And I think it's just going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to that. So I meant what I said in episode 400 when I was talking with Ben Branham. No new guns this year. No new guns for Bob Main in 2017. I got what I need. At least that's what I determine I need. Nobody gets to determine what I need except me. Right? Isn't that how it goes? That's the way it is in America. I love what Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation says. It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. That's so. When I heard that for the first time, I thought, that's so cool. And it's so right. It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. So nobody determines what I need except for me. I have determined, at least for now, I have the firearms I need. They will do what I need them to do and get me out of whatever situation that I think I'm going to be in. This year, I need to get better at using them. I need to perfect my ability to use them. And as I've said many times before, I would feel very guilty taking your money to come to one of my training classes if I haven't learned and become fairly proficient with the skills that I'm teaching. And I think that's the way you should judge any instructor. Look at the classes that he or she has taken in the last 2 years. Ask them. Ask them for a resume of what classes that they have taken. I give you my resume on this podcast as to what I've taken. And if you've been following me, you know what kind of training that I have. So, that's a goal for 2017. And I'm going to resist the temptation, because boy, the temptation is great. The new gun temptation is always great, is it not? It's, boy, I tell you, the force is strong with some of those new guns. It's strong. And they're just, they call out to me, Bob, you need me, take me home. But I vow to resist that temptation. Speaking of new guns, even though I got the gun several months ago, I shot competition last weekend on New Year's Eve with my Sig Sauer P229 Legion series. Wow, man, I tell you, I finished. There was, by the way, we had a big turnout. We had 71 shooters for AASA competition in San Antonio. 71 on New Year's Eve. I couldn't believe that we had 71 people there. I finished 20th out of 71, so I was in the top third. And I tell you what, that Sig Legion was awesome. Boy, I love that gun. And I got to say, it hasn't been much of a problem for me to get used to that first double action trigger press. I thought it was going to be an issue, but it has not been. It has not been. So I stand corrected. At least for me, it's not been an issue. I've spent a long time talking about how I didn't care for double action, single action pistols. Now, maybe it's just because the double action trigger on this Legion pistol is so good. Maybe that's why it's been so easy for me to get used to it. And you know, because that double action is so good, the single action is simply amazing. So I've enjoyed it. And I still need to give it a complete 1,000 round trigger job before I carry it. And I have not given it a 1,000 round trigger job. It's got about a 450 round trigger job right now. If some of you are relatively new to my podcast and you don't know what I'm talking about when I say thousand round trigger job, go to my website, handgunworld.com. It's one of my older shows. Put in the search bar, thousand round trigger job. Put in 1,000, the number 1,000 round trigger job. And I did a whole episode on what is a 1,000 round trigger job. I've kind of changed my mind a little bit since then. I think it should be a 2,000 round trigger job. Yeah, I really do. It should be minimum 1,000 round, but I think it's best to do a 2,000 round trigger job on any pistol you decide to carry to save and defend your life with. So that's 2017 goals. So I wanted to spend this episode, a relatively short episode, but I wanted to spend this time talking about mainly two subjects. And that is why I talk so much about training and goals for 2017. What are yours? Send me a voicemail. Call it in. 210-646-1727. If you need a good holster, don't forget about Concealment Solutions. They are the sponsor of the official sponsor of the Handgun World podcast. I've gone back to that old setup now, so you can still use the coupon code HandgunWorld. HandgunWorld gets you 10% off when you check out at ConcealmentSolutions.com. Check them out. They have all phenomenal, excellent holsters. 90% of the time, I'm using one of their holsters. And don't forget about my Amazon store. Hey, last month in December, wow, lots of people did some serious Christmas shopping using my Amazon store. thank you. Wow, that's a great way that you can financially support my show and you don't have to spend any extra money. You know, if your budget's tight and you say, hey Bob, I'd like to support you, but man, my budget is tight, whenever you make a purchase on Amazon, and you probably will because lots of people do, just go to handgunworld.com, go to the Amazon store page, and follow that link first. Amazon will give me a little bit of a commission because I'm an Amazon affiliate. I do have just a few more things I want to say before I sign off. Quick break, and I'll be right back.
A woman is approximately 10 times more likely to be successfully raped when she doesn't have a gun, according to a Department of Justice study. This explains why women in the United States use firearms about 200,000 times a year to stop sexual assaults. It also explains why more than 40% of women own or already have access to a firearm. So why do some politicians want to disarm women? Maybe rape isn't a serious enough crime in their minds. Or maybe they don't want to stare down the wrong end of your barrel.
Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Okay, I'm back, still in the Handgun World mobile studio. I have been receiving a lot of emails that I want to talk about, some of them people asking me to review the Trijicon RMR that I have for my Glock 19, and yes, I will be doing a review. But as you know, I have a philosophy that I do not like to talk about products, and I don't even like to render too many opinions and critiques of products until I've had a chance to use them and use them thoroughly. I will talk about some first impressions. And again, these are just first impressions. This is not a complete review. I like the ruggedness of the Trijicon RMR. I have shot other pistols with an RMR red dot on it before I purchased this one. So I did try before I buy. And I'm going to bring it to every training class this year. So if some of you do come to one of my classes and you want to try it, I'll let you try it quite a bit. And you can test it out. The ruggedness seems to be real good. I think it's very important because when you put a red dot on that reciprocating slide and that slide is just slamming back and forth, You know, first of all, it's got to be mounted properly. It's got to be done by somebody that really knows what they're doing. And it's got to be built well. And I'm not saying that there won't be issues with it. But I've heard nothing but fantastic things about Trijicon's customer service and Suarez International's customer service, and I really like the ruggedness of it. So that's one first impression. I also like the fact that with the RM07, I can adjust the brightness of the dot. I like that. Depending on the lighting condition that I'm going to be in, I can adjust the brightness of the dot. The other thing I found is, you know, because I wear corrective lens eyeglasses, and I wear progressives because I'm old. I'm an old guy. See, I'm an old guy. I'm officially a senior citizen now, right? I'm 55 years old. So I guess maybe I was officially a senior when I was 50. But, you know, now 55, I think I'm a young senior citizen, though. How about that? And I don't feel senior. So, but I just had to throw that out there. So because I'm a relatively middle-aged gentleman, I have to wear these glasses, these progressive corrective eyeglasses, because I can't tolerate contacts anymore. I wore contacts for over 30 years, and my eyes just can't tolerate them anymore. And I've noticed that, you know, with normal, regular open iron sights, my sights are blurry, and I've just learned to shoot that way. I've learned to shoot with blurry sights because of my glasses. And by the way, I train without my glasses, too. You should do that. How many of you who wear glasses or contacts, how many of you train to shoot without your glasses or contacts? How many of you do that? You should. Why not? What happens if you lose your glasses or contacts? I had LASIK surgery back in 99, but it didn't correct me to completely 20/20, and I knew that. But it sure is better than what my eyes were back in 99. Well, with this Trijicon RMR, for some reason, the dot is crystal clear. I love that. It's crystal clear. Now, if I mess around with the brightness of it, I can make it blurry, but I can also make it crystal clear. So I like that. That's really cool. And then sometimes when I turn the brightness up, it makes the dot look a little bit bigger, even though it's not. It's a 6.5 MOA dot. But it makes it look bigger because it's turning the brightness up. But I noticed that when I kind of set it at a medium level and just leave it there, it's not blurry. And so I like that. That's good. That's good stuff. And I'm real excited about it. So those are a few first impressions that I have of the Trijicon RMR setup. Very glad that I bought it. I know a lot of people say, oh, that's a lot of money, Bob. That's a lot of money. You know, I can get a new pistol and some ammo for that kind of money. Sure. Yeah, you can get a new pistol and some ammo for that kind of money. Yes, you can. But will you get the benefit from that new pistol and some ammo that you would get from a really nice, cool RMR red dot on your handgun? And I'm going to be talking about some of the benefits in future episodes coming up real soon as I get a chance to practice and use it and even compete with it. So with that said, that's pretty much what I wanted to say on this first episode of 2017. Thanks for listening, folks. I appreciate it very much. I appreciate you more than you know. And with that said, I'm Bob Main. You've just listened to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Remember, the loudest sound that a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or just a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.